Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, what's up, everybody? It's Dirt. I want to thank you for taking some time out to listen to the podcast of our show, brought to you by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
Well, I didn't think you had it in you.
I'm your huckleberry.
This is Dirt and Sprague.
Why, Johnny Ringo, you look like somebody just walked over your grave.
With Andy Dirt Johnson and Brendan Sprague.
But it's not with you, Holiday.
I beg to differ, sir. We started a game we never got to finish. Play for blood, remember?
Dirt and Sprague on 1080.
I was just fooling about.
I wasn't.
The Fan.
All right, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here on Portland's sports leader, 1080 The Fan and the Odyssey Sports app. Happy Friday to everybody out there. Beautiful looking day. We have a lot to get to here in the second hour of the show. We're awaiting Tony Gwynn Jr., an Odyssey baseball insider, radio broadcaster for the Padres. We've got Tyson Alger at 7:30. He's going to join us. He's been writing about the Oregon Ducks. They have a scrimmage on Saturday.
They do. Nice scrimmage. He had a good piece yesterday about some of the young guys that are turning heads. And I know a lot of people don't like spring football, but that's always one thing that I look out for. It's just newcomers, new faces. Who are the guys that could have impact seasons that didn't last year that are you're starting to find out about in spring football?
Oh, and I'll add to that. I do think there's a lot of people kind of with me about spring football in general, but I think this is different because the expectation from Oregon is there's a lot of talent on that team.
Yeah.
Can they get to a playoff this year?
A lot of talent returning for sure.
So we had no Tony Gwynn Jr. yet? No?
No. Okay, all right. Okay, we're getting a thumbs down on that. I like how you, again, you didn't include my Giants in the tweet. I'm very offended by this.
I did that actually on purpose.
Very offended by this. Purpose. We're just acting like they're not a surprise team. And I remember all the comments. I'm going to pull the tape from you guys on opening day, making fun of my team.
Are you going crazy? Suck. 12 games in, you're just
All over it, baby. 8-4. Okay. They're pitching great. Bullpen. They blew one of their losses too. They blew a 5-run lead in the eighth inning. Come on, man. They're playing good ball.
It's a nice little start.
People are fired up too. I mean, we're talking about the quarterback stuff.
I think the quarterback stuff. That's why I said this draft. God, this is so us. We're about to have a baseball guest. Let's pivot back into football.
I know.
I find the draft the most interesting in a long time because of these quarterbacks. This idea and this notion that there's five guys that are legit. Show me the last draft that happened.
Yeah.
Five quarterbacks talked about that are all legit franchise starters. Are you going back to like the 83 draft? You don't have this kind of depth ever in a drafted quarterback. And this idea that Zach Wilson is this and that and Fields is not this and that and Mac Jones could be.
My thing on this is I have no problem questioning and scrutinizing all of them. I just think it should be done fairly and across the board. And it feels like there are some that get more than others. And that was the larger point. I'm not saying that Justin Fields is above criticism or questioning, or you shouldn't point out maybe some flaws or weaknesses in his game. He had a stretch this last year where he was really bad. He got off to a great start, finished strong, but the middle of the season, he had a couple of games in there where he was throwing bad picks. He was bad in the Big Ten title game, if I remember correctly. Like, he had his weak spots. There's no doubt about it. I'm just saying, why are we questioning one guy so much and not others? And I think, we had somebody text in, love how you're putting stats to match your narrative. Wilson threw for 1,500 more yards, the same number of touchdowns and less interceptions than Field did. First off, his toughest game was what? Coastal Carolina? So let's not compare the schedules there.
I don't know. Maybe it's the toughest game.
Sure. I mean, they played nobody. It's not their fault. Everybody canceled on them. I'm not saying it's a BYU decision, but they played nobody last year. That's just a fact. And then also, are we just going to pretend like 2019 didn't happen? Well, what
when
Zach Wilson was not, Zach Wilson had 11 touchdowns and 9 picks in 2019, was a full-time starting quarterback. Justin Fields had 41 touchdowns and 3 picks. So 2019 doesn't count, but 2020 counts.
Well, that's the thing. It's always kind of like, what have you done for me lately? What I, the only thing I find a bit odd is I'm more fascinated by the narrative that started to pop up with Justin Fields more so than the play. I know what the play is, right? And last year you could point to it and say, not that impressive. That Northwestern game, he didn't do anything. Sure, okay, but they still won the Big Ten. They still went to the playoff. He played through broken ribs. He beat Trevor Lawrence's Clemson team. Like,
yeah, that game against Clemson was one of the more impressive performances I've seen in a
long time. Nobody saw that coming. They killed him.
Yeah.
And everybody was picking. I think I picked Clemson. A lot of people were picking Clemson in that one.
Sure.
So, yeah, I get it. Like, he wasn't perfect this year, but I'm more talking about how did this narrative get created about him when, to me, it just doesn't match. And people, it's not picking and choosing. To that listener's point, to me, it's not about picking and choosing. We could pick negative things about Fields all you want. I think there's negatives about all these quarterbacks, including Trevor Lawrence. To me, what I find is it's not picking and choosing to just point out facts. And the facts are, if the negative of Justin Fields is that he does not progress down the field through different targets, then what do the numbers say about that? The numbers just bear out as a fact. Statistically speaking, that is not true. He does it more than Wilson. He did it more than Lawrence and Lance.
Right.
So to me, and Jones, by a large margin.
Yes.
To me, it's not about picking and choosing. We can pick and choose good and bad performances by both Wilson and Fields. To me, it's about just stating what did the numbers say. And the numbers say he progressed past his first read more than the guy who was a lock at two. And I think what else happens in sports media and just the conversation around sports is that when you like somebody over, when you like player A over player B, you'll get people who like player B over player A. So then it becomes contentious. I've looked at comments on 49er tweets. Matt Maiocco is somebody I follow, and he'll have something about this guy and that guy. And it's funny to read the comments. There are Niner fans that hate Justin Fields and are convinced Trey Lance, bitch.
Yeah, Trey Lance, like, is the answer, yeah.
Okay, you like Trey Lance, but like, why are you so contentious against Justin Fields?
Is Jesse Pinkman a 49er fan?
I mean, that's kind of cool, yeah, how it feels sometimes in the bench.
Science, bitch.
Yay area. But I think people have their favorites for whatever reason, and at this point, nobody's right because these guys are a coin flip.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, you should approach all of them with a skeptical eye because history tells us that at least three of these guys are going to flame out and crash and burn in the next 3 years, largely dependent on what situation they end up getting drafted into.
But let me ask you on that listener's point. So that listener seems like maybe they like Wilson
He's
more
a Zach
than Fields.
Wilson guy.
Okay,
the next counter argument was Justin Fields couldn't win the starting job. I've seen that a couple times. He couldn't even win the starting job at Georgia.
From.
And I would say, one, how many true freshmen start right away in college football? Trevor Lawrence didn't even start right away. It took him a handful of games. Tua took him a handful of games.
Joe Burrow couldn't beat out Dwayne Haskins.
And he ended up being the number one overall pick. Matt, his career has gone fine. I would also say, I don't even know what the argument. Are you trying to say that Fromm is better than Fields? Because that was a giant mistake by Georgia not playing Fields right away.
And they would tell you probably, I would guess, that was a mistake.
Would have rather had Justin Fields the last 3 years and whatever the hell Jake Fromm is up to selling State Farm right now. That was a historical, or not historical, that was kind of an old school coach saying, we have an established starter, we're going to play the established starter. They used Justin Fields in the offense and they ran him. I think he had 4 touchdown passes and had a couple of rushing touchdowns. They used him, but that was a old school approach that bit them in the ass because he ended up transferring.
Dual sport kid, too, because he was supposed to play baseball at Georgia and Ohio State. He ended up, I think he only played football because of the weird COVID situation. But that's another thing that kind of gets me in a little bit. I know that's, these guys are all pro athletes in general if they're playing at that level of football in college. But you don't have a lot of you don't have a ton of examples of dual sport dudes, like guys who could legit go start on the baseball team at those schools and be the starting quarterback. It harkens back, not that he's going to have the same career, but it reminds me of Russell Wilson a bit. And
Kyler
Murray is a great example, right? Where he got drafted by the A's and we debated realistically if he should just go to baseball and make life easier for himself physically and maybe make more money versus going and getting beat up in the NFL. And
right.
There's an element of that that intrigues me even more. Not to say Zach Wilson's not a great athlete, because we know he is.
He's a great athlete. He had an incredible season last year. He was a ton of fun to watch. When you say that Zach Wilson should be questioned, it doesn't mean that you think Zach Wilson is terrible and not going to have an NFL career. I find it funny that some quarterbacks get it more so than others at this time of the season. And I am more of a Justin Fields guy. This whole process hasn't made a lot of sense to me, because I truly do believe it's 1A, 1B with him and Trevor Lawrence. And the last time that I felt this way about a quarterback coming out of college, of just like, why are we knocking him? Why isn't he getting more accolades? The last time I felt this way was about Deshaun Watson. The Deshaun Watson stuff made no sense to me. How a guy like Marcus Mariota out of Oregon, who had an incredible career, put up great numbers, got to a title game, won a Heisman Trophy, right? Did all the stuff that outside of winning a national title that you could ask for, was an easy lock shoe-in to be the number one or number two pick in the draft. It was just a debate about him and Jameis Winston. And then, 2 years later, you get Deshaun Watson coming out, and it's
Trubisky.
Like, what? He wasn't even a top 10 pick. Like, what world am I living in?
Dude,
that guy,
12th pick in that
Clemson
draft,
was not a top 5 pick. It made no sense to me. He's big, he's strong, he's athletic, he fits the modern offense in the NFL. And I feel that way about Fields, and Fields is not going to be the 12th overall pick. I tend to agree with Vegas. I think he's going to end up being number 3, and the Mac Jones stuff never made a ton of sense to me.
There's still some people that believe New England could trade up to 10 thinking he can slip. And world does that have? I mean, look, he might not fit out. That's the thing, is we don't know, but it seems preposterous, does it not, that Justin Fields would fall from what you would have thought earlier this year as a 2 pick?
Yeah, going off of his 2019 season, it was a lock to be the number 2 overall pick, because he was a monster in 2019.
But something that's painful, I heard this yesterday, I saw it on Twitter after the show, and it's gotta hurt. Bears fans know this all too well, because it just happened to them. I just saw a video that was released behind the scenes of the draft, and it was Mitchell Trubisky being picked, and Ryan Pace, the general manager, who everybody in Chicago hates, and the Chicago media will tell you, they aren't sure he knows how to do the job. Was ready, and they're not sure he knows how to do it.
They traded up to take Mitchell Trubisky when they could have had Mahomes or Watson.
Well, there's a video. So they draft Mitchell Trubisky, and there's a video of Ryan Pace in the Bears war room, and he is, right before he calls Trubisky, he's doing a social media video for the Bears website and Twitter account. And he basically is like, he's got a piece of paper in front of him and he reads it. He's like, Mark, head of scouting in. Bill, department of accounting in. Mark Helfrich, offensive coordinator in. And Tom, head of our college evaluations in. A consensus thought, Mitchell Trubisky, quarterback 1.
Yeah.
And then the next scene is him, Mitchell, it's Ryan. Congratulations. And it just cuts. And I thought, oh, man.
What could have been?
Everybody in the Bears drafting evaluations, unless Ryan was lying, everybody thought Mitchell Trubisky was the best quarterback of that draft.
Yeah.
And it's easy to see it now and go, oh, you idiots. And by the way, of course, Mark Helfrich has to be involved in that famous pick.
Right.
But everybody can see that and have the opinion. And I didn't like Mitchell Trubisky, the prospect, because I largely didn't know anything about him. He couldn't win the starting gig till a senior year at UNC. So I had my skepticism involved.
Sample size, yeah.
But it's funny to go back and team like Chicago, who had everything on the line, they needed to make that pick correctly. They all, longtime evaluators of that game and knowing more than you and I, all thought Mitch Trubisky was the best quarterback. I didn't get it. You didn't get it. I remember talking about that as a show. What? Deshaun Watson is not the guy?
The guy who just dominated college football for the last 3 years? Really? We're not going to take him? Okay.
Played an amazing game against Bama, beat Bama. I mean, okay. All but right. Mitchell Trubisky's the dude. And look what happens four years later. You're like, oh, it didn't work out. So,
well, and I'll say the last thing on this. A lot of these quarterbacks in their NFL success depends on where they go, the fit around them, the coaching staff that they have, the talent that they get to play with. And maybe the Jets end up proving me wrong. We did that segment a couple of weeks ago, and I'm glad you apologized for believing in the Jets, because you shouldn't believe in the Jets until they make you believe in them. whoever ends up, and it we know Zach Wilson is a lock essentially to be the number two overall pick. That could end up being the best thing to ever happen for Justin Fields if he ends up going to number three, because there is no doubt in my mind the organization and the team that you would rather play for as a rookie quarterback. It's a light years away. You would rather be in San Francisco than New York.
Well, we tried to talk baseball, and just like baseball, they didn't want us to talk about it. So,
hey, how about them surprise first place Mariners, though, huh? Looking good.
Yeah, there we go.
Looking good.
There we go. Not bad.
He just didn't answer, huh? No Tony Gwynn
just
Jr.
Just straight
today.
Up did not answer.
All right. Well, yeah.
We have this national, it's like a part of our corporation. And it's the Odyssey people. So the people who do podcasts for the Odyssey app. There's people that do like national streaming shows. And it's how you get your guests from that. Like McDonough is one of those. Bucher used to be one. You have to email and they're like setting it all up.
Yeah.
We did it. We followed protocol and we still couldn't get the guest.
Hey, you got that read in though. You knocked that read out of the park, baby.
I'm just glad I didn't have to do the read multiple times. Those reads are, they're ridiculous. They're like two paragraphs long. So I guess we won't hear from Tony Gwynn Jr. That's fine. I'll stay in the National Football League. We've got over-under win totals, which, look, kind of sounds dumb when you say it out loud, but the reality is we all love it, and we all have opinions on these teams already. I'll give you the updates in Vegas of what that's looking like. We'll do that next on The Fan.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with three rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
I've been told that Tony Gwynn Jr. is calling in at 8:15. I hope to talk some Major League Baseball with Tony Gwynn Jr. at 8:15. We shall see if that actually happens.
We found him.
Fingers crossed. Fingers crossed.
I'm trying to cut into my Friday leftovers segment. I don't know.
Dude,
how I feel
I know.
About this,
I was
Tony.
Thinking about this last night. I think we're at the point where we need to kind of create the benchmark of our Friday leftovers.
To make sure that we actually do it and not punt time. Well, we'll do it at 8 then. How about that?
Okay. I've written some stuff down throughout the week that we're not important enough to get to.
I have two fart stories I really want to get to today. Is that okay? It's a Friday. Feeling good? No?
Hey.
Not in on the fart stories today?
Feels good when you do it. I'm not surprised you have two fart stories. One,
there's
I mean,
there's a pastor that farts on its, what do they call, what do you call the congregation? He farts on their heads.
Holy crap.
It's like, he's the columns like holy farts.
Literal holy crap.
Can you believe that story? It's happening. You should look up the pictures. It's a thing, man.
NFL over-under win totals are out.
No good? Okay.
Get to that at 8 a.m., pressing issues. Tyson Aldridge is going to join us in 10 minutes.
Oh,
the NFL future bets of over-unders. These are actually some of the areas that I think you can make the most money on and some of the better things to bet on in the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Some of these numbers are not surprising. The Chiefs win total is over under 12.
Highest in the NFL.
That smells like a push.
Oh, I'm all over that over. I'm hammering that over.
I think their division's going to be better, but okay.
They went 14-2, and they struggled in a lot of games last year. And one of those games was a game that Mahomes didn't play.
Yeah, I think the Chargers are going to be better. I think the Raiders could be better.
I don't know about the Raiders. I'm with you on the Chargers. I think they could be slightly better. I'm worried about the Raiders. And I think there's big questions about Denver. And Drew Locke, is he the guy?
I think Denver's going to get a quarterback in this draft.
Ooh, okay.
The Bucs are at 11.5, the defending Super Bowl champs. I don't think I'd touch that one either.
Yeah, I stay away from that.
Now, 11-5 is a good year. I can see that.
Speaking of divisions, that the reason I would take that over is because of the division.
Mm.
No, you don't know what the quarterback situation is in New Orleans. Carolina, we'll see how Darnold does there, but that's a bit of a question mark. And then Atlanta is drafting the top five for a reason.
Ravens at 11, Rams at 10.5, Packers 10.5, Bills at 10.5, and the Niners at 10.5.
Love the Bills over. Yeah. Love the Bills over.
I could see that. The Colts are at 10. Cowboys 9.5.
Of course, they're overinflated as always.
Titans 9.5. Hawks, the Seahawks at 9.5. And the Brownies at 9.5. I love the Brownies bet there. I think the Browns are built for 10 wins.
Ooh, I do too. They got a lot of talent. Added Clowney.
Yeah, they run the football.
Run the football. It should be a big year for Baker Mayfield. We didn't get to the segment on them yesterday because we got distracted by the LaMarcus stuff. But it is really nice to see a team that is capitalizing on a quarterback who had a good year. Baker Mayfield did this last year, who's still on his rookie deal and going all in. Like, that's how you win in the modern NFL. Yeah. You got a guy on a rookie deal, you try and stack as much talent as you can around him. I love the Clowney signing. They've been super aggressive. Love to see that.
I'm trying to find the 2020 ones. Because look, Vegas is not in the business of getting swindled and being substantially wrong. So when you look at these over-under win totals, what they tell me is these are the teams Vegas thinks are going to be the contenders versus the pretenders.
Yes.
The Chargers, for example, are an interesting one. They're in that medium spot of they're either going to be disappointing or they're going to make the postseason because their over-under number is 9.
Yeah.
So Justin Herbert and company are right at that 9 push. So, and then there's 17 games. Is that this year, the 17 games?
I believe so.
Okay. Oh, Swigard left.
Swigard left. Let
Swigard
me
would
that.
Know this for certain.
I was just thinking that in my head as well.
I was going to say 9-7, but now it'd be 9-8.
That's going to change my calculations on a lot of these. You're telling me if I get a 17-game season and the Chiefs are still only at 12 and I only need them to go 13-4?
Swigard, you would know this because we're idiots. The NFL 17 played games, is that this year or has that been pushed to 22?
He's pondering.
I thought it was for this year.
Okay, that's what I thought too.
Let me Google, when does 17 games schedule kick in?
We could have Googled that, I think, before wondering for a minute and a half when Swigard was out taking
Sorry. old man bladder.
No, that's all right. That's okay.
No, I don't think it starts in... it's starting in 2021.
Okay, so
what the ESPN article says.
The Chargers could be 9... God, that's 9-8 is going to be a weird thing to see, isn't it?
Yeah, the win-loss records are going to be dumb. They shouldn't happen. We didn't need an extra game, and it's going to take a long time to get used to that.
Would you like to bet the over-unders are the bottom barrel of the crap of the NFL?
I love the teams that show up there at the bottom, and there's one that I'm definitely taking. Actually, there's two that I'm going to take the under on.
The Bears are at 7, Jags at 6.5, Bengals at 6.5, Jets at 6.5, Eagles at 6.5, the Lions at 5, and the Texans at 4.5.
I mean, I'm taking the under on both of those. Biting knees is not going to get you 6 wins. Taking the under on Detroit, the Texans in their quarterback situation, that organization is just a dumpster fire right now.
Tyrod Taylor probably going to be their starting quarterback.
Right. I mean, that's just, no thanks. I'm out on that one. I'm taking the under there. The Bears, I'd probably take the under on the Bears as well.
I mean, they made the postseason with Trubisky and Foles going back
wrong
and
on
forth.
That. You're not wrong on that. I don't know how much you really trust Andy Dalton, so I'd probably take the under there. But I think the ones that I love the most are probably of the top-notch teams. The Chiefs over, I do. You and I can disagree on that. I love the over there. I think that that's a system and a quarterback coach duo that, as if healthy, they're going to win 13 games every year. And I love the Bills over, largely because if you can get it at 10.5 and you consider him, that's a good team. You brought almost everybody back. You made some additions, and the division still kind of sucks. Like, Miami is probably the next closest to them. Maybe New England surprises, but the Jets are drafting number two overall. It's going to take them time to dig out of that hole. Miami maybe is a playoff fringe team this year. New England, again, maybe slightly better, but the Bills are the class of that division right now, and they'd have to go 11-6 this year to hit the over. I'm all over that.
I like Flores, and I think they got some good spots. I don't know how you confidently bet Miami over 9.
Right.
What did Tua show you that got you jacked? How do you fare in that Buffalo game? They win that Buffalo game, and they're probably a wild card team.
A game that Buffalo had nothing to play for, if I remember correctly.
And they pulled their guys after the second quarter or the mid-second quarter point. They got slaughtered. Yeah. I mean, I remember following that game going, what happened? I bet on Miami. That line got pushed to Miami -4, and I thought, Miami's going to win today. And they got slaughtered in that game. So the Saints won. I'm not high on the Saints. I don't trust what they're doing at quarterback. I don't think they know what they're doing at quarterback. I love the Browns, and could be fool's gold. Love the under of the Cowboys because not trusting that. And I love the over of the Hawks and the Browns.
Oh, the Hawks do it for you, huh?
Haven't the Hawks proven that they're the 10 win or more team? Like, even in their down year, they got close to 10 wins. I'm not going to take one off season of narratives for 3 weeks and say suddenly they don't win. Russ seems on board. He's welcoming all these players they're signing in. I think he's back on board.
Yeah, Chris Carson just did an interview, said that Russ was in his ear the entire offseason telling him to resign.
Yeah, and I think and you heard that from Carlos Dunlap also said that. I think there's a come together moment for them. They got through their up or their downs, and I think they're trending up. I love DK coming in yet again. You got Carson back. You signed Gabe Jackson in the trade from Vegas. Mm-hmm. You got Carlos Dunlap. I think they're going to be a 10-win team. So those are the kind of the ones I like. And the unders, I mean, you could bet a ton of the unders. I don't trust the Eagles. I don't trust Jets.
Pittsburgh, I don't trust.
Pittsburgh, I certainly don't trust, especially what are they at? Pittsburgh's at 8.5.
Yeah.
I think Pittsburgh's a 7-win team. So how about the Cardinals at 8, by the way? And then we'll go to Tyson Alger. The Cardinals at 8, this is supposed to be the year they make the leap.
If you don't make it this year and the 49ers jump back ahead of you, I think the Rams are already better than you, and the Seattle Seahawks won the division last year, and you're in year 3 with Murray, year 3 with your coach, and Kingsbury.
Kingsbury's fired.
You better hit that over. No.
It feels like the Portland Trailblazers for them.
Yeah, you're going into year 3. You bet a big offseason. Everybody's talked about you. Now you got to go prove it.
All right, there's some win totals, over-unders in Vegas. They were just released with what they think these teams are going to do. Dirt loves the Chiefs over at 12. So keep that in mind, the Chiefs in the AFC West. All right, coming up next, we'll stick in the sport of football, but we move to college. Something to follow or the things to follow this weekend for your Oregon Ducks. We'll talk with Tyson Alger for the Daily Ticker of The Athletic, and we'll do it next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Rob Bradford here. I have set out on a mission with my good friends at FanDuel to prove what I have known for some time. Baseball isn't boring. Now I have a daily podcast to prove it with some of the most notable people in the baseball world screaming baseball isn't boring from the mountaintops, or at least agreeing to come on our show. Players, managers, GMs, and yes, even the commissioner of baseball, Rob Manfred. It has been a constant wave of baseball's most powerful voices. So join the revolution. Subscribe and soak in Baseball Isn't Boring. Listen on your Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You'll be glad you did.
In this wide world of sports, some stories can slip through the cracks.
Now, before we do this, let's go over the ground rules.
Button Mortgage presents The Daily Ticker, where Dirt and Sprague visit the insiders that are covering the stories you've heard about. And some you haven't.
How'd you do that? Actually, I'm not even mad. That's amazing.
Button up your mortgage with the Button Mortgage Team. Call 833-BUTTON-2 or visit buttonmortgageteam.com. The Daily Ticker with Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Daily Ticker time on a Friday morning. Joining us now, our buddy Tyson Alger, covers the Ducks for The Athletic. Go give him a follow on Twitter at Tyson Alger. He had a good piece yesterday on The Athletic about the 10 underclassmen who are turning heads so far this spring. I enjoyed reading it, and I gave it a retweet because they got a scrimmage coming up tomorrow.
Yeah, is he really awake? Is this really him on the phone?
Tyson, are you awake? Good morning.
You know, the thing is I don't usually have trouble getting up this early, but I'm not usually prepared to speak. So I've been going through my my voice exercises here, drinking my tea and everything. So,
you're the quiet for an hour after he wakes up guy, aren't you?
Yeah, let's rock, boys.
All right, so the piece comes out yesterday. We got a scrimmage coming up tomorrow. I think for Duck fans, it was just exciting to get a glimpse of some of the newcomers and some guys who were on the team last year that maybe we didn't see a lot. But when in writing that and talking to the coaching staff and the players, what stood out the most to you? What are the names that kind of resonated the most when players said, "Ooh, that guy is looking good so far"?
Man, it's... There are a lot of places you could pick. I was just about to say the secondary because Jamal Hill, DJ James, Dante Manning. I mean, they have a ton of young guys just ready to roll there. But it's kind of the along the lines, which is kind of perfect for how Mario Cristobal likes his Oregon teams because along the offensive line, I mean, you have the six guys who started last year who I think are going to be really good this year. But like behind them, you have Kingsley, you have Logan Tagapulu. You have like this really nice like second layer of talent coming in on the offensive line that has a lot of size and a lot of kind of like high rated this is the 7:30.
It's early. It's okay. You should hear me at 6 a.m, Tyson. It's not pretty.
Yeah. So, anyways, they have a solid amount of depth on the offensive line, but if you look over on the defensive line, which is something that's kind of come into focus this spring because Kayvon Thibodeau is kind of taking a little bit more of a hybrid role depending on the scheme. But like Brandon Dorlis, Keon Ware-Hudson, Christian Williams, these are all guys that have been kind of we've kind of heard about the last couple of years is like, oh, this guy's standing out in practice or like this guy's been a stud on the scout team. But because you've had Jordan Scott clogging up the middle, Austin Thalu, like Oregon's had a pretty veteran heavy defensive right. line, and I really think we're going to start to see some of those like just kind of big bully type of bodies come out there, and I'm just really excited to see what sort of push the Ducks get up front from some of those young guys this fall.
Well, Tyson, some of those, you know, better recruiting programs in college football history and just recent, like Bama, Ohio State are the consistent top three type teams in recruiting. They don't have to deal with this anymore because it's been so well established in their program's history with their current coaches and the coach before them in Urban Meyer. But let me ask you, Oregon has emerged as of late with Mario Cristobal at the helm as one of these top seven type recruiting programs, kind of the blue blood level, and they're getting these 4- and 5-star kids. I'm curious, as you establish this pipeline of recruiting and continue to get more and more 4- or 5-star type talents, and that's how you become a legit contender here in the sport. How do you think Cristobal balances playing the younger players and assuring them playing time early so they don't leave as a transfer? Because that's what some of these players tend to do now is look for the starting gig elsewhere if they don't play right away. How does he balance having your experienced guys while trying to maybe maintain the happiness of the newcomers here and continue his pathway as one of these top recruiting coaches and programs in college football? Do you think that's something he's kind of figuring out as he's become a head coach at Oregon?
Yeah, I think that's the toughest balance because now you have, I think it's 4 straight recruiting classes of, you know, top at least 12 nationally ranked classes that they've brought in. So like every class, it seems that we've written about like, oh, the young guys are going to be coming and pushing these old guys. And now those talented young guys are, you know, juniors that are, I guess, super sophomores at this point. So I think the biggest, there's going to be some growing pains because Oregon doesn't have the resume that Alabama has to say that like, hey, you're a 5-star, you're going to sit on the bench, but you're going to sit on the bench for 2 years and win a national championship. And then it's your time. I think you're kind of in that awkward stage where you keep bringing in really good players, but they don't quite have that bargaining chip of just being like, hey, be patient. You know, you'll get your time because right now Oregon's bringing in guys to eat each other. And Mario Cristobal loves that. Like this has been the most competitive spring that they've had. But I mean, we've seen the results of that. I mean, that's essentially why Tyler Shuck transferred. Tyler Shuck was a really nice recruit for them when they grabbed him in, was it 2017 or 2018? He was one of the top players on top quarterbacks on the West Coast. And I still am in the camp of like, he wasn't a complete wreck last year. I think that in any other era of the Oregon program, he probably would have gotten another year to figure things out. But, I mean, Oregon's just bringing in talent upon talent upon talent upon talent. So mm-hmm. if you're not ready to go, they're not going to wait for you. And that's not so much of Mario Cristobal being insensitive and not wanting these guys to develop. They want these guys to develop, but it's just that Oregon's at a point right now where it has an opportunity to kind of grab a stranglehold of the Pac-12 and maybe sneak into that playoff conversation. And the competition within those practices is going to be absolutely key. And I do think a lot of players are kind of thriving off of that. I know they do look for that sort of player in the recruitment process of somebody that wants to compete. But I mean, we're going to see what happens coming up here as the transfer portal becomes even more prevalent. Right. And then, you know, we got the open recruiting period starting again in June. So it's going to be a bit of a roller coaster here.
Yeah. And they just passed that roll again. Now transfer that one freebie, if you will. Tyson Alger, our guest, covers the Ducks for the Athletic, at Tyson Alger on Twitter. If you go give him a follow, you can see his latest story. The 10 underclassmen who are turning heads so far for Oregon this spring, they got a scrimmage tomorrow. Now I keep reaching out to people down there trying to get, some chatter on Ty Thompson and how he's looking. I'm not hearing a ton. What are you hearing on the quarterback position, how he's looking, how that battle's shaking out, and then even a guy like Butterfield or Ashford, some of these other guys who may be flying under the radar?
Don't ask Joe Moorhead if Robbie Ashford will play a different position other than quarterback. He'll stop you right in your tracks. I mean, the kid's like 6'4", 235, might be one of the fastest guys on the team. I don't think any quarterback's coach is ready to release
that. I'm not giving up that weapon. Hell no.
but talking about Thompson, you know, everything that I've heard on Thompson is he's as advertised. I mean, he's got all the physical tools. He's just young. I mean, that's what it is you're in a camp right now or in a spring right now where he's, you know, competing against Anthony Brown, who has 3 years. I mean, he has like, I think 5 starts against top 25 teams under his belt. It's just the difference between a guy who's played 4 years of college football and a guy that's in his first spring. Like I haven't heard anything that says that Ty Thompson isn't going to be the guy of the future for them. It's just, I think it's probably a lot of pressure to ask someone to come in and win that job your true freshman year over a relatively experienced guy. I mean, right. Marcus didn't start until his redshirt freshman year. So, you know, I don't think that we have to necessarily bury the kid quite yet if he doesn't come out of spring as a front runner. But, yeah, I mean, Anthony Brown's the guy right now. He's taken every single rep with the ones this fall. He's going to be mm-hmm. taking the ones tomorrow during the scrimmage. And then it kind of honestly sounds, it's a bit of a carousel at number two. They've been trying out everybody. I mean, Butterfield's kind of the guy that gets a little lost in this a bit because, you know, Ashford is the baseball star and Thompson's the best recruit of all time at quarterback. So Butterfield's just kind of like the average top 100 player who's twiddling his thumbs, throwing spirals in the back. So I really, 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 really like the depth the Ducks have there. And I think this spring we just talked about like guys transferring because of competition and keeping guys happy. I do think that this spring has been perfect for that room because you do have a bit of a dynamic of, I don't think there's any pressure on Brown right now, and I don't think the freshmen feel necessarily pressured, like, oh my God, I have to come in and win this job. But I do think that having the three freshmen compete against each other is really good competition, and it allows Anthony Brown to kind of get that comfort level with the ones without kind of feeling that somebody's like right on his back.
Well, Tyson, how do you think they're gauging that position battle in the general sense of Ty Thompson maybe or probably is the future quarterback for them? But to your point, like, you know, Herbert didn't start right away. He came in at a point when the season went down. And then Marcus Mariota, the redshirt freshman season. Do you think part of them going with Brown, who showed some good things last year in his small sample size, do you think them going with Brown is more of an indication of maybe expectations for the year versus if you start a true freshman, there's always that roll of the dice of he could be good in a lot of spots. He could struggle in a lot of big moments. I mean, how do you think they weigh that positional battle versus maybe expectations of what they hope to accomplish this year?
I think this is a team where if you get consistent and good baseline quarterback play from the start of the season, the Ducks are going to be in playoff contention. And maybe they have a higher ceiling with Ty Thompson, but they have no idea what sort of consistency they're going to get out of Ty Thompson. So I think right. The way that they're approaching this year is, okay, we know what we have everywhere else. They're really confident in the line. The wide receivers are amazing. Tight ends is getting a lot of extra depth. They're kind of in that position where like, all right, we might just be good quarterback play away from doing this. you know, we might see a change if things kind of go south after 4 weeks, kind of like with Dakota Prukop in that 2016 season. But this is a far better team than that is overall. And if just having Anthony Brown play good football is the key to winning a bunch of games, I think they're going to do that this year while they not have to necessarily force Thompson into the fire. But if they struggle a bit and they need a spark, I mean, that's an awfully nice piece to go to, kind of like what we saw with Herbert that year. You know, yeah. In 2016, like, they had high expectations that year. It didn't work out, and it just became very apparent that, like, Dakota Prukop wasn't the future for them. And, I mean, it's kind of the same situation here. They're just hoping that Anthony Brown can throw a better fade in the end zone than Prukop did against Colorado.
And I can't fathom with that talent, they're losing 70-0 to Washington and going into the crapper. The amount of talent they have, if they have to go to Ty Thompson.
Hey, 70-0. They scored points in that game, okay?
Easy. Okay, I'm saying you're right.
72-21. All right, let's be fair. Tyson Alger covers the Ducks for The Athletic. Go check out his latest piece, The Underclassmen Turning Heads. The Ducks got a spring scrimmage tomorrow. Keep hammering that driver, Tyson. Thanks for getting up with us early in the morning, and we'll catch up again soon.
When are we golfing, Tyson?
I mean, you guys obviously have my number.
I mean, it goes the other way.
Tyson's one of my go-tos. There's not many people that can golf like on a random short notice in an afternoon. Tyson's one of my—he's one of my go-tos, man. He's hammering that driver.
And I text him to get on the show. I don't get a text back. I don't get an invite. Where's my love?
It's all right. I still love you, Tyson.
Just know I'm the guy who shows up 10 minutes late, asks somebody else to pay for my tee time, and then hits the first one on into the freeway.
So you're the Venmo guy. Hey, pay for my round.
I cannot confirm nor deny that story. But thanks, Tyson. We'll catch up again soon.
Thanks, guys.
There you go. Tyson Alger, The Athletic. All right, so good stuff on Oregon there. Anthony Brown taking all the reps with one. Sounds like that's the way the spring's going to go. And you got a good battle going for number two. It's a good place to be. And I think his comparison to Prukop is good. Brown goes sideways. Team doesn't play well. Boom. Easy pivot. You start the future and look ahead for Ty Thompson and what is to come. All right. NBA GMs are raising an alarm over something that's going on. Are they fair in their criticism? We'll get to that coming up next on The Fam. All right. Friday leftover segment coming up top of the hour. Tony Gwynn Jr. Maybe. Knock on wood at 8:15. And then we may or may not spray the line. We'll see. NBA GMs are not happy right now, Bob. They're not happy.
They're not contending?
They're not happy because they believe, and I want to know how you guys feel about this.
Yeah.
That a shortened schedule, compacted everything, is leading to a rash of injuries. And they fear that player health has reached a boiling point. One veteran assistant coach, also agreeing, said, hands down, it's the worst schedule I've seen in 25 years in the league. It's utterly insane. One veteran NBA coach called it, quote unquote, brutal.
Mm-hmm.
One veteran NBA athletic trainer said it's far worse than the Orlando bubble that they went through last summer. He said, quote, going into the bubble, we all had different anxieties about the games, but without travel, this is literally exponentially more difficult. It's such a cumulative effect. One GM said, I've never experienced anything like our injury spate. This has been growing, kind of. I've seen this. Mark Cuban has voiced his concern on Twitter a couple of times. How do we feel about this? Are all the injuries a byproduct of a schedule? Because we get injuries every year in the NBA.
Well, you know, I think it's tough to gauge, like, who are those people talking? What team are they a part of? If your team has been impacted by injuries.
I guess the Lakers, the Nuggets, hell, the Blazers.
The Blazers have dealt with it.
Sure.
I think it's a team-by-team case. Like, the Phoenix Suns aren't dealing with this. The Phoenix Suns are thriving. Utah Jazz have had a pretty damn good year and struck gold in the health department.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, the Nuggets, the Lakers, the Heat are three of the four final four teams, and they've all suffered either significant season-ending injuries or significant injuries that have impacted multiple weeks of their season. And I don't know what you expect because they turned it around from October to December and said, we're playing 72 games. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's compacted. It's, you know, it's less games, but it's in lesser time because we're going to play on less rest. There's validity to it. I don't know where the season ranks all time in injuries compared to other seasons.
Would you like me to tell you?
I would. I do. Cause I've thought about this. We've talked about this. I brought this up on the show not too long ago when Murray tore his ACL. Is this a byproduct of what the season is of just rush? Here's 72 games. Go play it. Get us back on track so we can get back to our normally scheduled programming next year.
Right.
Or are we thinking it's worse than it normally is?
Yeah, because as a Blazer fan, I feel like we go through the injuries every year. And not every year is a COVID-shortened season, right? Where you're playing more games, condensed schedule, all that stuff. This is just for All-Stars, so not for every player, but the players that matter the most. According to the Elias Sports Bureau, the 2021 All-Stars in the NBA have missed 15% of the games this season. That is on pace to be the second highest rate in NBA history.
Okay.
The only season that saw a higher rate than that was the 2014-2015 season. And one GM was quoted after that saying, every dumb soft tissue injury that can't happen is happening, and it's only going to get worse.
Oh, and this is going to be so pie in the sky and ridiculous to some. I think this is the element that Anil O'Shea holds on to. They may not turn this around. Terry Stotts is probably a cooked goose at this point. But the only optimism I think you sell yourself on, despite how bad you might be against 500 or teams over 500 record-wise, I think you sell yourself on, you just don't know what's going to happen. The Lakers, for all we know, I know Anthony Davis is cleared. Well, let's see him play a few games.
Sure.
The Denver Nuggets lost Jamal Murray. You just don't know what's going to happen, and you don't want to see teams go down that way. But I think that is kind of weirdly the way you view it is, just get to the postseason. You give yourself that chance. You have Damian Lillard. We don't know where this is going. And this could be a year where Brooklyn, LA, the other LA, Phoenix could win the championship, Milwaukee. Or it could be a year where it's random as hell because things did not stay the way they were supposed to. Sure. And you had some teams just benefit from that.
Yeah, Brooklyn or LA can't stay healthy, right? That would shake up the finals race. There's no doubt about that. So GMs, trainers, coaches starting to raise the alarm saying this shortened season, they understand it's due to COVID and they're trying to make some of that money back that they lost last year. But they're saying one quote was, we have defaulted to survival mode at this point. Got about a month left in the regular season. All right, we got a lot to get to coming up in the final hour. We will get to hopefully Tony Gwynn Jr. at 8:15. We'll talk some baseball with him. A couple of leftover notes. And that's where I want to start with the Friday leftovers. Some stories we haven't got to yet today, including one that asks, is farting free speech? Loaded final hour. Don't go anywhere. Dirt and Sprague on 1080 The Fam.